everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. We're finally done with the national championships for the boys, and we're going to recap that final game today. We're also going to recap the last round of Talent League for the girls. As usual, I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Railsmith. Jonty, what was your recap of that national championships for the boys? Allies got the victory in the end, which we saw last week, but we wrapped it up with Metro and Country this weekend.
Yeah, we did, and it was a very good contest, and obviously the third quarter from Country blew it away from Metro, and they were never really able to get back in the contest after that with the margin stretching out to as high as 40 points. But yeah, no, there are a few good matchups that we'll be keen to discuss, and obviously some players overall who boosted their stocks, but also in that game in particular. So I guess if we start with a Metro point of view, I think Jagger Smith was one who was arguably best on ground in that game. Obviously, through the midfield, we know how much talent he's shown as a bottom major, both at Oakley level and also at Vic Metro level. I think that was his best game of the championships. Would that be your takeaway from it, Nathan?
Well, 100%. He was definitely one of the best on ground. He's just a very classy ball user in the midfield. He knows when to take on the game, and he's just quick with his ball use that allows a really good transition, and he's one you want the ball in his hands a lot. And we probably compared his, you know, championships as well to Levi Ashcroft in the end, who were similar in bottom ages in terms of their performances, but he was fantastic and played his role really well, and it's, you know, hard to look past him as a very, you know, top 10, top 5 prospect next year, really.
Certainly, and Levi Ashcroft would be in that similar sort of vein, and he showed that on the weekend, as he has through his three games during the championships. Of the top ages for Vic Metro, I really enjoyed the Ollie Murphy game, and he won the Vic Metro MVP. But his matchup with Archer Reid was one which for me was quite an intriguing one to watch. Archer Reid finishing with 2 goals to 2, and his best game of the championships was the consensual takeaway from that. But I don't think that's at all a slight at Ollie Murphy's game, who, like always, reads the game really well and obviously able to take some intercept marks, as he was again on Sunday. And then his left foot coming out of the back line was very good as usual. How do you sort of assess that matchup? Because, you know, a Vic Metro perspective, Rob Harding probably puts him in their best players. But then by the same token, Archer Reid's showing why he's a first-round prospect.
Well, his game was, I think it was equally as impressive as the weeks before. And I think the thing that stands out with Ollie, he doesn't let like the opposition get to him, as in, you know, you might have a day where opposition kicks 5, but he doesn't let that happen. He might have moments where his opposition will win in a quarter. So, you know, might kick 1 goal, 2 goals in a quarter, but he'll shut him out for the other 2 or 3 quarters. And that's what we saw with Ollie, and that's what is fantastic about him. He's got a lot of reliability in that back line. That's something that's really evident in the way he's been playing, that you can always rely. He'll be there and he'll make a challenge and make a contest. So it was a very deserving MVP. Pre that game, we didn't think he'd get the MVP, just purely because you don't expect a defender to get the MVP, but he's one that 100% deserved it. And I'll butt in and say this: we're going to release a separate video analyzing every Vic Metro player, so that will come out soon. So we're going to brush the surface here about this game, and same with Vic Country, by the way. So those will be 2 separate videos coming out soon for a full analysis on how each player performed. From your perspective, which other Metro players stood out for you as well?
I think they were certainly the main ones. I guess there are others that had moments. Archie Roberts probably had his best game in the championships as a rebounder off halfback. I know you're a massive fan of his, Nathan.
Yeah, well, it was definitely his best game. I thought it was not quite a national championships. It probably wasn't performed to his highest standard. I thought his Australia Academy games were at a much higher standard, and he performed very well against, especially in that Carlton VFL game. I thought that he played outstanding against him. Well, it was AFL-listed players. He had the role on Jack Martin at times, so it wasn't like he had an easy task. Champs, it was probably just his disposal efficiency let him down at times, but that last game against Big Country was probably the most impressive, and that, yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree. It probably wraps up. It really wasn't Vic Metro's day in the end. It was 22-40, wasn't it, in the second quarter, and then it was 81-40 about 15 minutes into the third quarter. So it was 9 goals in a row, which probably segues well into Vic Country, and they were just fantastic. I'm going to start with a bottom major here. Finno Sullivan. We both thought he played really, really well. Just great vision across the ground. He kicked a really nice check side goal at one point as well from 35 metres out. Like, it was on the run. That was an outstanding game from him. It's always good to see the bottom majors come up and show what they're capable of. What was your analysis of the way he played? I know he stood out for you as much as he did for me.
Yeah, well, it's just really nice seeing the bottom majors. Obviously, we know the talent of some of these top majors, but to see him go up against Jagger Smith, obviously they're teammates at Oakley, and you think they're probably going to be around that 1-2-3 mark next year. Yeah. And I think it built on the game and showed it wasn't a flash in the pan. We know it's not a flash in the pan, his performance last week against the Allies, because of how well he performed at the Under-16s National Championships last year. But it was showing those similar traits, and, yeah, to do it through the midfield with players a year older than him was really impressive. The other matchup that was intriguing to watch for me at the other end of the ground was Angus Hastie versus Nate Caddy. And I know you noted the impact of Angus Hastie playing on someone who's a little bit taller than him. So I think it really showed that he's able to play on talls, he's able to play on smalls with his ability to get a fist in and really split some aerial contests with Nate Caddy, who, again, had some shots on goal and hit the scoreboard, but yeah. I was still impressed by his defensive accountability. We know how much drive he provides off that Vic Country and Geelong Falcons half-back line, but showed a little bit of a different element to his game, did Angus Hastie on Sunday.
Well, I think Nate Caddy was... I don't think he kicked one until... It might have been the second half. I don't think he definitely had much more impact in the second half than he did the first half, but Hastie, we know, like, he's an athletic defender, so... You can really put him on an opponent a couple of centimetres taller and he'll do the job as well as he does with someone his height. And we know his drive out of halfback is fantastic with a really nice left foot kick. So he was really good. He's been pretty consistent, old champs. I can't really fault him in any of his games. It might have been, Patro was a bit inefficient, but otherwise he's been really consistent and played his role really well. I couldn't fault him, and I doubt you could as well.
Yeah, no, likewise. And you go to a teammate of his in the back line, Will Dawson, performed again, which was really pleasing. We obviously saw him take 5 or 6 intercept marks the previous week against the Allies, and it was a great performance, but it's his first time sort of playing in the back line, and is he able to back it up, or was that a one-off? I think he showed that ability to read the ball coming in and read the cues further up the field are traits that are going to hold him in good stead wherever he plays. So, yeah, was really impressed with his game. And then I guess a Gippsland teammate of his, Zane Dersma, was the one who really tore the game with 3 third quarter goals. I think he finished with 4. But, yeah, after a championships where he was able to show what he can do through the midfield, and I think there were maybe question marks over his defensive intent and his ability in terms of midfield craft, to then go back to his natural half forward position and play there full time in that fourth game and do what he did, really showed why he's being talked about as a top 10 prospect and perhaps even higher.
Well, he was, the note I had on him was Dersma unreal. That was probably the word to summarize how he played. Yeah. It was just, we talk about like impact per possession, but this was like impact per possession. It was just outstanding the way he turned it on. Just happened. I'm pretty sure all those 3 goals were in that blitz as well. So,
yeah,
he was fantastic, and it's a little scary to think he's got a younger brother, Willem Dersma, just waiting 2 years down the track to go to another club. So, well, I don't want to put the pressure on it now, but he's very talented, winning that Vic Country MVP in the Under-16 Championships. But, look, he was arguably, like, one of the best on ground that day, I thought. He was just outstanding.
Yeah, no, certainly. And I guess one who I know you're big on, I'll let you lead this discussion, Tom Anastasopoulos, obviously a speedy forward from Geelong, who's sort of shown a little bit of what he can do, but it probably hadn't been his championships up to that point, probably be a little bit disappointed with his first, I think, played 2 of the first 3 games, did he? Or did he, is that right? Did he play?
He definitely played SA. He wasn't there for WA.
Yeah.
Three of the four.
Yeah, so 2 of the first 3 games weren't necessarily his best performances, but he certainly showed his goal sense.
Yeah, it was, as someone who's enjoyed watching it was very frustrating, especially that first half. He just couldn't get it together, a lot of turnovers. But I thought this was a great showcase of his resilience. Like, that's probably something you want to look at in a player, is if you're starting bad, can you turn it around? And are you going to let it affect you, all the game? But he was fantastic the way he did turn it around, and it was the little things that started clicking for him. He had a really good rundown tackle in the second quarter that just started it for him, and that's, you know, utilizing his speed, utilizing his strengths well. Two goals in 3 minutes he kicked in the second quarter.
Yep.
Both sort of similar goals as well. And then just ended up finding himself in the right spots, getting in the groove a little bit more, and hitting up targets as well really nicely. I'm not sure if they were converted in the end, the set shots, but he was at least leading to possible goal assists, and it just, his game turned it on. So it was, I said this to you, I don't want to take away, he was definitely a very poor first half, at least first bit of the game, where you don't want to take away from that because it did show his weaknesses, but he turned it around, and I think that's probably what you want to focus on. So there were two sides of the story to Tom's game in the end, but I thought he turned it from what could have been a really just negative outing to a positive one in the end.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonably fair appraisal. Noah Meraz, to move on from Anastasopoulos, is one whose bottom ager at the Dandenong Stingrays got some game time last year as a double bottom major. He's a raw, tall prospect who can play down back, but he also pinched it in the ruck and took some really nice marks around the ground. So I was a big fan of his game. Harry DiMattia played off half back as well. So we know he's played predominantly through the midfield and been a key ingredient through there for Vic Country. But I think playing off half back was able to show his ball use a little bit more. And I know they were really pleased with that on the weekend. So yeah, it was really great to see that side of Harry DiMattia's game. And the other one that probably really impressed me to round it out was Darcy Wilson. I thought he performed really, really strongly. Murray Bushranger's kid who is certainly in first round discussions, Nathan, and we know he's got that versatility, but showed all aspects of what he can do.
I'm like, he's an outstanding player to watch. I do think he's underrated. Like, he's not underrated in terms of where he's, you know, he's around the first round, but I think he's one of those, you pick him up in, you know, the 12 to 15 range, you're getting a real steal with him. He's extremely classy with the ball in hand. His running capacity as well, that's just something that, you know, you notice. He's great two-way runner. He's just, it was another one that played a really consistent champs, I thought. He didn't, you know, have an amazing breakout champs, but it was just consistency. You know when he's going to get the ball in hand, he'll use it well.
Yeah.
And he'll make an impact as well. He's not one that just sort of stays in his area. He'll make an impact in all three areas of the ground. So, yeah, he was another one I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, he was certainly bold with his ball use, no doubt. I guess before we move on to the discussion about the overall championships and who boosted their stocks, just worth touching on, obviously, Harley Reid, the probable number one pick, got the Vic Country MVP, and he probably affirmed that he was going to get that award with a really strong finish on Sunday. He finished with 11 clearances and some of those fend-offs that he was able to do. So we know how strong he is, and I think his skill set was really on show. So that was really fun to watch. But yeah, moving on to some of those under the radar prospects. You touched on Ollie Murphy before, and just one thing to pick up on, we have already touched, you know, mostly on him, but I think you mentioned about how he's able to sort of stay in contests and not let one poor quarter affect him. I think that was something that was really on show against the Allies. He conceded two or three goals to Jed Walter in that first quarter, but then after that kept him really quiet. So I think his ability to turn it around in that game, by and large, would have contributed to the award and showed that aspect of his, you know, his mentality in game. So that was really impressive. You touched on Angus Hastie before and how productive he can be coming out of the back line. So he did that throughout the whole championships. And yeah, his defensiveness was also really good, was able to shut down opponents at different stages. And Michael Rudd was probably the most reliable forward for the country. Unfortunately, was a laid out with a slight hip injury from the Sunday game, but yeah, kicked more goals than I think any of his teammates, perhaps bar Zane Dersma.
I don't say that
with much confidence, but
well, actually, just on that topic though, I think credit to Jacob Grant who came in late. He played pretty well.
Going back to the Sunday game, he did play well, but Michael Rudd. So Jacob Grant came in for Michael Rudd. When Michael Rudd played, it was very good in terms of his hands overhead, was able to clunk a lot of marks inside 50.
Yeah, it was his contested work that was on display. I don't really think he took a heap of uncontested marks when he was getting them in the right spots. I'd argue he played better than he has it in Falcons, like at the Falcons. Obviously, still played terrific at the Falcons, but yeah, he was just making terrific impact, and he was converting as well. I don't have the stats in front of us, exact stats, but I reckon he was the most efficient goal scorer. I don't think he would have missed a lot, and he was just kicking them from everywhere as well. So he was extremely impressive, and he was one of my best overall in the for Vic Country across the championships.
Yeah, certainly. Kay Delarue as well played a really strong game against Western Australia and found quite a bit of the footy as well against Vic Metro. I think his ability off half forward to find the footy, we know playing that half forward, high half forward role, you can sort of get caught a little bit, and sometimes you're leading up and the ball goes over your head and that sort of thing. But that didn't really happen to him, and it doesn't happen to him at Dandenong level either. So that's a real credit to him. His ability to find the ball, and he makes good decisions. He's really strong through the core and he moves really well. So I think it was a really impressive championships from him, and boosted his stocks from a Vic Country perspective. And I guess to finish off on the Vic Country theme, Will Dawson, though, as we spoke about, with his ability to show that he can also play in defence, and George Stevens through the midfield. I think he really led that midfield. The AFL Academy captain, big body, we know what he's able to do. How do you assess his championships?
Yeah, well, I have been critical of his kicking in the past. I just thought it was a bit too hack kick type, that it would get it and kick. I think that's certainly improved. Always willing to give players credit where credit's due, and he certainly touched that up in those championships. Very effective by ball with his hands, but his kicking was terrific as well. He made a very positive impact around the centre stoppages. It wasn't just get the clearance and run. It was sort of look at your options, assess where you want to go and use it well. And he definitely impressed me, you know, definitely, again, one of the most impressive in that country team, I thought, across the championships.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of impressive, I think one that we've both been impressed with from the Sandringham Dragons has been Harvey Johnston across the course of the season. Obviously a strong preseason, but that game that he played last week at his home stomping ground, RSEA Park, 29 touches as a half forward. And he's also gone into the midfield for Vic Metro at times for short spurts throughout the championships. I think he was one that probably really needed to have a strong championships to ensure that he was able to build on that start and keep himself in draft contention. And yeah, certainly that game that he played, the third game for Vic Metro, was the strongest. But yeah, throughout the whole championship, his ability to hit the scoreboard and show his skill set, not do too much with it as well. We know sometimes he can try and do too much with it, but in that third game in particular, he was giving first option, and that was really leading to positive outcomes for his team. I thought it was a pretty positive championships overall for Johnston.
Yeah, I agree with everything you've said there. You summarise it pretty well. It was, and that's what we sort of spoke about. He especially pre-season and the earlier rounds of 2023, he would tend to do a bit too much with it, run himself into a bit of trouble, because we know how agile he is. He's able to get out of contest really well. And I thought he did that well, extremely well at championship level, and was given the good option. It was either a nice kick forward or just a good handball to a runner by his side. So he was just using it very well, and that's probably what made him stand out, because we know he's got those assets of being able to get out of contests, use his speed and agility, but it was probably those other things that stood out for him as well. So it was a really, really good championships for Harvey, and didn't do himself any harm.
Nah, certainly. Caleb Windsor's one who I'm a massive fan on from the Eastern Rangers, a winger who runs hard all day, and perhaps coming into the championships some question marks over his kicking, but he answered those. I know he kicked the first goal last week, and that was right in front of the Danny Frawley grandstand, and certainly got the crowd up and about, and to convert from 50 like that. But also throughout the championships, his kicking going forward had a lot of directive and a lot of purpose, which was really important from a Vic Metro point of view. And I think he was the best of the wingers for Vic Metro throughout the championships. Nathan, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. I think he's, in terms of like what I said with Ollie Murphy, he's reliable. He's a player that's really reliable in that position. He'll use the ball in the best way possible. And it was, his kicking was outstanding. I thought that one goal, that first goal of last week, was just probably the best goal that's seen in the championships, really. It wasn't like outstanding, but it was just the way he did it. It was just so composed. Like the start of the game, I thought it was a fantastic goal. But yeah, he was just reliable. Every time he touched it, it was usually used well and wasn't ineffective with it, and chose the best option. So or I would agree with what you had to say about Windsor on that occasion.
Yeah, and Kynan Brown was one who was very good through the midfield, able to get out of traffic and got several clearances. Probably his third game was his best game, but yeah, it was a really solid championships, and yeah, he'd be in the top 30 to 35 discussions now, I think, if he wasn't already around that mark.
Yeah, well, he's smaller for a midfielder, but it's the way he can burst, and his hands, of especially at Oakley level, that was just extremely evident how clean he is with his hands. And he did that again. He reads the tap of the ball well and can get out of the seven stoppages and use it really well. And he's probably like the first part of a chain, but he'll lead to even further up the ground. He's a good runner as well. So
yeah, he's really strong game awareness. Really strong game awareness sets his teammates up to be in really good positions, I think. And just an ally just worth touching on before we move on as well. Obviously we know Connor O'Sullivan and plenty of other allies from beyond the talent league or some of the academy teams boosted their stocks, particularly Gold Coast. But Benny Scothard from the Murray Bush Range is worth touching on as a small forward. He's certainly put himself in discussions. We know how good he is with his step and his opportunism, and he's very good overhead as well. So an excellent championship from him and able to hit the scoreboard consistently. But moving on to the Talent League girls, we did have a round this week, which was somewhat overshadowed by that big game on Sunday. Round 14, Tasmania played Murray and they won 8-15-63 to Murray 0-2-2. Georgia Clark able to keep her good form going at a crucial time of the year with the girls' championships also going on at the moment. So she kicked 2 goals for 4. Unfortunately, wasn't able to convert all of her opportunities, but she was one of the best movers across the ground and finished with 22 touches. And Candice Belbin, you know what you're going to get from her every week. She's been super solid, super consistent for the Devils and finished with 20 disposals. Nathan, you saw this game. Northern 3-2-20 were defeated by GWV 4-6-30. An excellent win for Sally Riley's girls. I think they probably came in as strong underdogs, but yeah, they had some big performances, and Millie Lane was one who I know I've been a fan of watching and was able to continue her strong season.
Yeah, well, she was fantastic. It was an impressive win from the Rebels girls because I don't think they've beaten a Metro team this year. So it's always good for a country team to knock off a Metro team. That's like pretty big in terms of where the teams are sitting as well. It's pretty much solidified GWV final spot. Not solidified, but 90%. But yeah, Millie Lane was terrific. We've seen how good she's been. Her kicking was phenomenal. There was one kick, I reckon, sort of, it was in the center square, laced out 30 meters, sort of on a really tight angle.
Yep.
That just sort of blew you away. Great intercept marking and just great run and carry along the wing as well. She knew when to take the game on and hold, and then just hold back a bit and hold with her opponent. Tyler Crabtree was one that she played her second really good game in a row, used the ball really well and just showed her speed and effectiveness. And then Claire Marnie, 2 goals, 2 contested marks that they came from. And she converted really well. And then the last one I thought was worth a mention, Molly Walton. She had 14 touches in the second quarter, absolutely dominated with it in the second quarter. She was really aggressive with the ball, and I thought that was what stood out. Took the game on and just went in for the contest and got the ball. And it proved she did get 14 touches in that second quarter. So she was another one that was really impressive. And Northern, it was Zoe Hargreaves again that played pretty well, and it wasn't really Northern's day. Ava Jordan struggled to get into it. It was just that it was the ball use that let them down, and that's where Rebels capitalized. And it was pretty poor a couple of weeks ago, but they have touched up on that and performed really well.
Yeah, no, very good, very good overview, and good to see some of those players around that Vic Country region performing well, with obviously Vic Country's first game next weekend. So some of those GWV girls will be involved in that, no doubt. And moving on to Gippsland and Eastern. Gippsland lost 3-3-21 to Eastern 9-4-58. It was the usual suspects for Gippsland that performed. Ash Centra and Alicia Molesworth, their pressure around the contest. Alice Stoddard is a 2007-born player. We're sort of seeing that they're clearly the best players of their team, but unfortunately it wasn't enough to overcome Eastern. We know how much depth they have, but it was good to see some of those Vic Metro players who have played a game for Vic Metro now, performed really strongly. Georgia Knight, 2 goals, 3. So able to hit the scoreboard, 5 shots on goal. Laura Stone played really well in Vic Metro's first game. She got 21 and 2. And Hayley McLaughlin, 21 disposals as well, was really effective for Eastern, who, yeah, were all over Gippsland really for most of that game. Moving on to Western and Geelong. Western 5 straight 30 to Geelong 9, 256. So continues that theme of the round with country teams getting up over metro teams. The really big interesting performance here is Hayley Peck in the ruck. So for the third consecutive week, she got a lot of hit-outs, to put it simply. 39 hit-outs she got on the weekend. Previous week was 22, and she also had 41 3 weeks ago, 24 and 23 hit-outs the weeks before that. So she's getting first hands to the ball. She's 180 centimetres and uses that frame really well. But what was really impressive about her game on the weekend was that she was able to get involved in general play more than she has in the past. So 17 disposals and was giving it to runners, giving it to players who are able to advance the ball forward really effectively, and then also 7 tackles. So that follow-up work is something that was really impressive, and she's probably, if not the best, then certainly up there with the best Vic Country rucks in the competition with her form at the moment. Stella Huxtable and Georgia Tyrrell as well, worth a shout-out for their form. They're leading the charge for the Geelong Falcons when it comes to the double bottom majors, the futures girls who are getting exposed. Dandenong obliterated Bendigo 25-8-158 to Bendigo, one behind. I watched a little bit of this game, and yeah, it was very strong, and there were a few players who were able to sort of stuff the stats sheet with Sophie Butterworth kicking 5 goals. But just as impressive for the coaching staff from Dandenong from her was that she got 4 direct goal assists. So she was bringing her teammates into play. And yeah, she was a real presence up there. We know how powerful she is inside 50. She was a real barometer for the Dandenong Stingrays. Gemma Reynolds was also excellent. We know how clean she is as a bottom major, but she was also stepping through traffic really efficiently, and that was quite impressive to watch. So slightly different from her. But the Stingrays coaching staff, after quarter time, threw the magnets around. They were up 51-0 at that stage. So Ali Simons, the highly regarded ruck, went down back. Gemma Ramsdale went up forward and kicked a couple of goals. Michaela Williamson played in an unfamiliar wing position, and her running was really impressive. And then Nikita Harris and Stella Rogers took front stage in the midfield. So, yeah, very good performance from Dandenong. And Oakley Sandringham was the last game of the round. Oakley lost that one 2-4-16 to Sandringham 2-9-21. A big upset here. And, yeah, one that, yeah, we certainly didn't expect. But, yeah, no, I know you're pretty well connected down at Sandringham. Nathan, what can you tell us about the performances that catalysed that victory?
Yeah, well, it was a big win, and they just keep themselves in final contention, but it would still be pretty hard. They need results to go their way. But Ashram Ruin in the back line, her speed out of halfback was really, really good in the end. And the big question I asked was who did play on Emma McDonald, and Annabelle Embleton had that job. Yeah. She kept her to one behind, really reliable in the back line, and that's something, if you're a recruiter, you're looking at that and saying that's impressive to keep someone who's pretty much hit the scoreboard in every occasion this year.
Yeah.
She shut her down. Mia Zielinski didn't hit the scoreboard, but her work rate and her defensive efforts are really, really good. And then Sophie Mackay, she had a pretty good game at metro level against SA, and she came back into the Sandy midfield and dominated with 26 touches. And I think she kicked it behind. Oh, maybe she kicked a goal, but she definitely did get on the scoreboard. So those were the main ones for Sandy in the end, who led them to that pretty impressive win.
The big storyline coming out of Oakley from that game, or not just that game, but also the last month, is Chloe Bowne, a 15-year-old 2025 draft prospect who has just been so solid. And the fact that on debut 4 or 5 weeks ago, she got midfield time probably highlights how highly they do regard her, the Oakley coaching staff. They see her as someone who could go top 5, top 10 at this stage if the 2025 draft was held tomorrow. And she's really shown why there's so much faith in her, consistently getting over 20 touches. She had 21 and 7 tackles on the weekend. So her ability to do it both ways is what's really impressive. She's got those offensive weapons in terms of her cleanliness and her long kick, which gets it going forward. But she's also really strong in the contest, able to put herself in positions which prevented Sandy on the weekend, but prevent opposition players from exploding out the front. So her pressure is really impressive as well. So, yeah, no, it was really good to see someone like her perform, given that we know how much talent Oakley have at the top end of this year's draft and also next year's draft with, you know, Emma McDonald and the like, Lara Horsegger, Amy Karras-Brett, these sort of players in Vic Metro. But there's also some players in terms of depth coming through. So they're improving year on year, as are all the Vic Metro and Vic Country and girls footy across Australia. So, yeah, no, a very impressive performance from Chloe Bowne. We'll move on to the ladders now. No change to the boys' ladder with obviously no footy. Northern, Sandy, Tassie, Calder, Geelong, GWV, Bendigo, Eastern, Dandenong, Western, Gippsland, Oakley and Murray reads the ladder. And then in the girls' side of things, Oakley are on 36 points. So they're just a game clear of Eastern now with that loss on the weekend. Eastern on 32 points, followed by Northern on 28 points, Calder on 24 points. So that will pretty much be the top four you would expect, with Sandy 2 games behind with only a couple of rounds to play, and Western on 4 points. Vic Country, Geelong on 32 points, Dandenong on 28 points, Tasmania on 24 points, GWV on 16 points, and then Gippsland, Bendigo and Murray on 8, 8 and 4 respectively. And now we'll move on to our tips to round out the podcast, as we always do, Nathan. Another round of girls' tips to predict.
Well, this is the last round of girls for a month, and then there's a really big gap. So the 25th of August is when they'll come back. But we start round 15 for the girls, GWV and Eastern Rangers. A really impressive win for the Rebels. That was a terrific win to come over, especially to Northern and win. I still think Eastern, the depth is just outstanding. It'll be competitive, I think, but I think Eastern will probably edge them in the end.
Yep, I agree with that.
Northern and Dandenong. Dandenong probably do it for me. I wasn't too impressed with Northern. I thought it was a bit disappointing, but I think Dandenong probably just a bit too strong.
Yeah, and a really good opportunity for some girls to carry on that form that they showed against Bendigo, with Vic Country coming up next week as well.
And then Tasmania and Calder. This will be a really interesting game, actually. This is one Calder pretty much, if they win and they've solidified finals. And for Tassie, they probably want a top two spot to get a home final. So really important game. I've really liked what I've seen from Calder, so I'm going to go with Calder in this.
Yeah, I think Calder would be just too strong as well.
And then to round out, Western and Murray. Western got their first win against Murray about a month ago, so it's the only team they've beaten, and I'll probably back them again, considering this is in Melbourne, this one.
Yep, and I'll agree with that.
And that wraps it up. Another big round of footy. We'll be back next week. It's not going to be a huge podcast. We'll talk about the girls round, and it's actually not a whole heap because we're waiting on another game for the girls national championships, which is on the 30th. So a shorter podcast next week, but we've got some big videos coming out. Like we said, the Vic Metro and Vic Country national championships reviews, player by player. We'll have our power rankings for the draft, our top 20 coming out in the next couple of weeks, and some other special content coming out as well. So please keep an eye on our socials for when that is dropping. And we've got some player profiles as well that you've done recently, Jonty. We had Amin Naeem on the Instagram page a couple of days ago. So go check that out. It's a great chat. So until then, thank you all for listening. Leave a comment below for some feedback, and we'll see you in the next episode.